Welcome to Your Important to Sarah. I hope everybody had a wonderful week, and I hope that somebody somewhere has got some sunshine, because down here in BC, we're back to rain. We're going to have to find that sunshine in something else. Today, we're talking about the wonderful spirit, the gift of the spirit that children and animals give to us. I remember that first moment when my daughter, the daughter that I actually interviewed when I was up in Toronto on South Africa, I remember that first moment that she was put in my arms. When I finally got to hold her, smell that wonderful newborn smell, feel that wonderful little body next to mine, and that realization that finally my dream had come true, and I indeed was now a mother with this child that looked upon me for guidance, for love, for caring. It was just an amazing sensation, one that until I think you have that child in your arm, it is not something that words can describe. Then the joy of watching that child grow. I think we learn so much about ourselves when we watch our children, when we watch our animals, when we watch the simplicity of life, the simple pleasures they get from a wooden spoon. Have you seen that wonderful commercial on television of children laughing, little babies, and they're one baby after the other, they've got laughing themselves hysterically until they fall down. It is so intoxicating. It's so catching. You can't help but laugh along with it. It is that wonderful vibration that they set out in that innocence of that laugh. They're living in the moment of their pleasure. They're not worrying about tomorrow. They don't give a damn about a moment ago. They are in that moment, in that joy, in that simplicity. And why do we lose it? Why do we lose it growing up? Well, before I get to the why we lose it, let's look at to see what this gift really is. A child, just as an animal, as your little puppy, your little kitten that you've got there, they live so entirely, instinctually, and in the need of the moment. When they're hungry, they're going to let you know. It's going to be a cry. First, it's going to be something. When they need to go to the bathroom, they're going to let you know. When they want to play, they're going to let you know. I have a 10-and-a-half-year-old border collie here who still loves to play with her toys. She has a favorite toy, which is a squeaky. And she will play with that thing and bite on that thing and go nuts with it. She's never destroyed them. She has numerous toys. She goes and hides them from us, hides them from herself. And being the typical border collie, she does that circle thing, gets down and all, right down to the ground, staring at that toy, waiting in anticipation for you to reach for it. And then it becomes the challenge of who's going to get it first, and the throwing of it, where is it going to be, and the adventure of living in that moment. Simple joy. Simple, simple, simple joy. We get so complex as human beings. We get so complex as adults. We allow so much to get in our way, to weigh us down, that we forget that wonderful simplicity of innocent laughter, of pure joy, of being in the moment. I start my day off every day by going on Facebook. And I look at all the beautiful pictures that are being sent, wonderful quotes that are being posted, and most certainly things close to my heart are all the animal pictures that I see. Especially when you see animals that should never ever be together, and there they are, curled up in one another's arms. It shows me that love doesn't have boundaries. Love isn't color-coded. Love doesn't care what language you speak, doesn't care what coat you wear, doesn't care what religion you are. When love is honest and true, when it is respected for that truth, it is simple, and one another is there. Children are the same. Watch them in the playground. Watch how they play together. The in and might be after the same toy. There could be a little rivalry. Yeah, that happens. That's life. That's competition. And that's healthy as long as they know not to overstep those boundaries. But when children get out there and they can find something magical to play with, an imaginary friend, conkers, you don't know what conkers are. What are they? Chestnuts, I think you call them. Here we used to tie them on a piece of string and play conkers. So everybody's trying to hit the conker. God, I'm dating myself here. The point is that I remember playing through most of my life because I was a sickly child and I was bedbound for a great deal of my youth. And I remember playing not only with the dead friends that came along, but with my dolls, but in my imagination also, I would take myself on adventures. And that was the way I managed to survive, and that was my creative juice. And it's also what allowed me to push through any boundaries in life. Anything that became fearful, I imagined myself breaking through. I imagined myself being the heroine of the story. I imagined myself having that strength, having that guts, having that crusading ability to move forward through anything, because I, Sarah, might not have been able to do it, but boy, my spirit, my inner soul, my inner person, my imagination, the person I wanted to be, could. And when I tapped into that person, I broke through boundaries that I never knew I could do. I love watching simplicity even of the flowers that grow. I have an area around here that was very desolate through the winter. Everything was just like tumbleweed and dry and looked like, you know, one flame would just take it all up. And then I had been there for a few days, and when I went back, suddenly I was noticing the greenery coming through the death, life anew being reborn, that what looked like it would never be revived again, suddenly coming up in abundance, that regeneration, that new life, that revitalization that is there, that circle of life that is there, and that circle that we see again in our kids and in our animals. I do believe that they need to understand what boundaries are, but instead of constantly saying no to a child, no, 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 don't do that, put that down, don't do that, maybe if we said owie to them, show them what an owie is, little pinch, owie, pull the cat's tail, owie, understand that that actually hurts. So if you do that action, it's going to hurt someone, so don't do it. Not just a no, because I said so. If you ask them not to do something, tell them why. Don't do that, because you could fall. If you fall, you have an owie. There's a better understanding of what their boundaries are, rather than you just dictating to them a no. It takes 8 positives to undo 1 negative in life. So how many yeses do they need to balance those no's that you're saying? I have a nephew in England who has a beautiful little daughter. At the age of, I think she's just turned 3, she goes to school in uniform, and her life is completely and utterly regimented, down to the very second of the routine of her life. She's not allowed to play with finger paints. She's not allowed to get dirty. She's not allowed to make a mess out of her toys. Now, you know, I'm a mum. I know what it's like to take their artwork off the wall that they've so creatively done for you. I know what it's like to scrub the biro, the ballpoint, off the child's head when the sister decided to graffiti on the child's head, on her brother's head. I know what it's like to take the Vaseline out of the furniture when they decided they were going to sculpture with it. I know, understand all of that as part of being a parent. And it's part of their creative source. They're not doing this out of malice. They're doing this out of exploration. You know, what if they do this and what if they do that? And I think it's to say to them, oh, that is wonderful. That's very nice. But no, that may be not a good idea, because children are sponges. They learn so very, very quickly. And they're going to learn those boundaries, and they're going to learn those things naturally of what not to do, by teaching them a consciousness attached to it, teaching them the reason why that they should not do it, teaching them to think for themselves rather than just carte blanche doing something. This is not stealing that spirit or that creativity, but it's having them understand that there are limits or boundaries or just certain things that shouldn't be done, and that channel that creativity into another area. If you do have a creative child, a child who loves to paint, to draw, a child that loves to build, get the building blocks. Lego is one of the most beautiful inventions out there. It really allows so much creativity. A few years ago, Honda did the most brilliant ad for the Element car, and they actually had the entire car on the commercial built in Lego. And it was absolutely amazing. It was brilliant. Watch a kid build with Lego. Watch how their imagination creates. Now, we may see one thing, in their minds they see another. But the point is they're pouring that creativity, that exploration, that wonderment into something. And it is something that becomes so proud for them when they've built something. It could look like nothing to you. And you go, oh, this is marvelous. What is it? Please tell me. Then to them, it's natural what it is. We can't see it. You know, we've grown up. We've lost that ability to see what they see through their eyes. So why don't we ask them what it is and to explain what they've done and to become more of a displayer through the tongue of what they have built for you. I think every parent and grandparent has a fridge filled with beautiful drawings, and every drawing should be treated like a Picasso. I have in storage somewhere many, many pieces of artwork that my children have done for me through the years. And I've kept them because I know one day they will look at those, and it's the fact that I kept them, it's taken them down memory lane. And the other thing is it's for one day to show their children. I was with my two children the other day. My daughter's just moved into a new apartment. My son made dinner. We went over there to have the evening. And then my daughter from Toronto called and ended up having kind of the three of them in the room, so to speak. And my daughter brought out an old photo album, because unfortunately I have all the photo albums in storage, so there's very few old pictures going around of them right now. And she brought one out of my oldest daughter and my son, both in the gorgeous Chinese outfits, posing for the picture, and it was just so utterly adorable. And for them, it takes them back to a moment of innocence, to a moment when they could get away with murder, because they can at that age, but to remind them of that freedom of childhood. Where do we really lose this wonderful spirit? When do we really lose this gift of living in the now? When do we stop becoming dreamers or acting on those dreams or living in our imagination? I think a great deal of it, unfortunately, does happen in school. I know a lot of people that homeschool their children. And one in particular loves to teach his children. You know, they discover something they want to do. So he says, okay, this is what you have to do in order to do that. And he teaches them to find the tools that are going to enable them to follow that vision. It becomes a whole learning curve for them. Instead of take out this book, turn to page 56, and blah, 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 blah. I think the school system is letting our children down considerably today. With the internet, with technology, with being able to reach around the world and talk to people from around the world, our children are moving so fast that the school system has become rather archaic in its teachings. I also do believe that if you look to whether a child is right or a left-brainer and teach them accordingly and have them, as I say, look to discovering their own knowledge with the tools and how to find and how to seek out and how to do and how to present, we will actually have children less frustrated and constantly living in that creativity, constantly living in that spirit, and we wouldn't lose them to the confines of rules and regulations that stifle who they are. There was a wonderful movie, I think it was called Not One Less. It's a Chinese movie that was done many, many years ago, and if ever you have an ability to rent a foreign movie, I highly recommend this. It's got subtitles, but it's beautiful. And it is about a teacher who goes to teach in a rural area of China. The classroom is just in this clay building. At night, when the lessons are over, they push the tables together and the children sleep on top of the tables. And one day, these officials come along and they've heard this one child is a great runner. And so they take the child from the school and consequently from their family, and because they're going to train him to be an Olympian one day. And there aren't any rights there because they are very, very poor. The teacher's mother becomes very sick and is dying, and he has to leave. So he tells one of the older students to teach the children for him the simple lessons and not to let anyone go, not one more to be lost to the classroom. Not long after he had gone, another child has to drop out of school because his mother is very sick, and he has to now go move into the city to make some money to support his mother and other siblings. This child takes it seriously about not one more to be lost. And so she starts devising a plan how they're going to raise money for her to go into the city to bring this child back. Through this raising of money, they go and find places that they can build things, that they can sell things. They work out math equations. It is absolutely brilliant. And everything that they learned, the lessons that they learned through the trying to raise of money, how much money do they need? How many blocks of such and such would they have to sell to do that? Who would they sell it to? How much would it do to do this and to do that? And the entire movie is about really them raising that money for her to go into the city to find this child. But the lessons that they're learning in doing this, but her also feeling guilty that she's actually not in the classroom teaching them, because she didn't realize she was teaching them through this exploration of raising this money. She finally gets into the city. She tries to look for the child. Eventually, she goes to a radio station. She stands out there for a long time. She looks disheveled, and they're not going to pay any attention to her until one person sees that she's been there for a few days, brings her in, asks her story, and consequently ends up being a national story. Then, indeed, they find the young boy. They take her and the young boy back to the school which didn't even have any chalk. They used to have to grind up the chalk and make it into new chalk, and the blackboards were old, and of course they had very, very little. All of a sudden there's abundance of chalks and chalkboards and supplies for the school, and the teacher comes back, and he comes back to find all of this. And she was thinking, I'm sorry I didn't teach the children. And then he went over the lessons that she had indeed taught the children. And, of course, it was a beautiful story. It ended up being a true story, too, which makes it even more empowering. We learn by our daily activity. We learn by our daily needs. We learn by our daily spirit. When we are refused and passionate about something, we continue to learn. We do not learn from dry and droll. We do not learn when this has no interest to us. We do not learn under dictatorship. In the True Colors that I teach, the perceptual communication and the four key personalities, I'm going to give you the personalities of the teachers that teach at various levels. Your elementary teachers are what we call the blues, the empathy, the passion. They love to teach by belief, by passion, by inspiring, by stimulation. If a child goes on to learn more than they did, if a child ends up teaching them something, they believe that to be a gift. If that child ends up being the greatest leader in the world, they will take such honor and pride in that, for giving that child that inspiration to seek and be all they can be. Mostly in high school or middle school, you are going to find what we call the goal teachers. These teachers are really rules and regulations. They are very much boundaries, and they are the rule makers of society. And then teaching becomes more about regiment, becomes more about discipline, becomes more about duty, and it becomes more about following the rules. And the people, which is, what is it? It is 72% of the population that learn by interaction, by stimulation, by exploration, fall under these rules, because these are the people that make the rule makers, and very often get themselves stifled because they cannot follow the way they learn, and they're not stimulated and they're not inspired, and so therefore we lose these kids through the cracks. Your scientist teachers will be your green teachers. Those analytical personalities, they will be the people that love to teach the sciences, perhaps even love to teach things that require that you look into the past, or look into details, that look into the how things are done, the exploration of things of how they're done. And actually you'll find that that kind of teacher is really less about the marks and really more about the feeding of the senses and the feeding, always actually finding another question of why and how. Because every time they find an answer, it's like, okay, I've got this answer, but now how does that work? And why does that go there? Or when can we do that? And it always leads to more of that. That is something that they live for, is the exploration of something. And of course, occasionally you have that orange teacher there, the teacher that is living in the moment, This is the teacher will be the favorite amongst most of the kids. It's a person that is passionate, a person that loves to stimulate, a person that can speak so articulately to something, the person that really will incite wonderment into a child and possibilities into a child and the ability to reach. But unless that teacher has other colors to balance it and ground it, very often those teachers do not stay around very long because they themselves, unless they have that freedom to teach in that way, cannot live by the restraints and boundaries and the conformity of the administration of school. So I think if I was to do this all over again and I thought myself a better teacher, I would actually love to have taught my kids myself or even have a conglomerate of people with great minds and everybody teaching those children and allow them to follow their passions, their dreams, and their belief in themselves and their exploration. Because I also do believe that the school system lays a huge stigma upon children of judgment. Oh, you're of F, so therefore you're a failure. Oh, you're only a D child. Oh, those Bs aren't quite good enough. Oh, or you're A, so they're your superior. And I don't think we need this across the board with our children. I don't think we should have it because those inferiority complexes, that lack of self-esteem, that always feeling inferior or a false illusion of superiority becomes something that really holds children back in where they want to go in life and what they want to do in life and what they want to achieve because it has stifled their spirit, it has stifled their intuition, it has certainly cut off their any knowledge from their soul, and most certainly their hearts aren't in it. So basically, from a child that lived in wonderment and wanted to learn and was forever exploring, systematically as they've gone up through the grades in school, most of the time these children have then had all that wonderment kind of beaten out of them and they lose their way. You as a parent, if you see this happening to your children, you need to bring that back into them. If they're finding school a struggle because they're not connecting to it, because they are feeling stupid, because somebody is not presenting it to them in their perception, in their understanding from their character, and they're simply not getting the message, be that gap, be that person to help them find their way. Be that person to show them how to. Again, with the internet today, there is so much information out there. Make it a game for them. Make it a challenge that you'll do with them. Inspire them to look for something from a different angle. They don't have to always do the angle that the teacher has given them. They can look at it from a different angle. And in that angle, they'll actually find that perception of understanding where they understand what they need to do or what the equation is so much faster and so much better. Please do not put your children down. Please do not treat them in disrespect. If they're lazy, perhaps you have not instilled in them the value of contribution. Perhaps you've not instilled in them the value of self. And perhaps that laziness is really covering up an insecurity, an inferiority complex, as something that they feel lacking in themselves. Value, self-value, the importance of value, the importance of spirit, the importance of life, the importance of self will all first come from the home. School may take it one way, but if you have a child that feels empowered within who they are, what they stand for, the value of self, that child will always survive school. They'll take what they need to do with a pinch of salt and do it, and they'll follow their path of what inspires them and do that well. These are the kind of children that we want out there because, let's face it, folks, we're getting older. They're our future leaders. We don't want them turning to drugs. We don't want them coming on the street. We don't want them to be failures in life because we haven't given them a view of what success is. No success is not the millions in the bank, all the big, huge properties, all the Hummer vehicle. Success is fulfilling one's life, one's soul, one's heart, one's spirit, one's intent, filling it to such a point that you are living in that light, that you are living in your authenticity, that you are living as a whole person, that you are living in a purpose, that you are living in something that's contributing to life, and that you are fulfilling yourself. That is the gold medal. That is the supremacy of life. I have got nothing against anybody making a dollar. Make as much money as you want, because the more money you make, the more money you can pay it forward in enabling other people. The more you can help other people find that, generate jobs, generate income, generate possibilities, support people that have had that negative upbringing and help them to turn it around by believing in them, by supporting them. Help those people that have innovative ideas, but nobody will listen to them because they do not have the degree behind them, or they don't have the right, quote, people behind them. Innovation is innovation. If the idea is good, if the idea has possibilities, you put the people that they need to take it to that next level. You give them those people. You enable them to get there. Do not stifle a dream. Do not say anything is stupid, because until that dream is fulfilled, or until that dream is followed to whatever it's meant to go to, we must never kill the dream. Sometimes you walk down one path in one idea of a dream, and it ends up branching off and taking you to another, which is really your purpose. But the moment we start killing those dreams, we start killing innovation. We kill creativity. We kill our spirit. The soul dies. And this is the reason why this world is such lousy vibration. We need to raise that vibration by raising that belief in ourselves, by keeping that spirit alive, by living in our possibilities, by firing on all cylinders, soul to heart to spirit to knowingness, by inviting people in, by seeking out like-minded people, by collaborating together. Light workers, you were not meant to work alone. Never, never, never. Everybody is a part of the equation. Everybody brings a different spice, a different flavor, a different herb to the dish. And that dish is only full and abundant if we work together. There is no competition. Nobody is doing a better job than anyone else. We're only doing a good job as we work together. And as the vibration, that joy, that simplicity, that love from our animals, from our children, from that innocence is being so stamped out of them at such an early age, it is up to us to bring that joy back. It is up to us to light that flame within them. It is up to us to show them the path back to that spirit, to opening up their soul, to listening to the passion of the heart, to following that dream and that knowingness. It is up to us. As light workers, as people who know what needs to be done, as people who have placed that value upon ourselves, as people who know the knowingness, who know the truth, we need to switch people back on. Light up their flame. Lift up their spirits. Show them the way. Please, when you're out there today, wherever you are, pay attention to two dogs playing. Pay attention to a child walking along or riding their bicycle. Pay attention to your own children. Stop dictating about the mess. Stop yelling at them about something else. That's your disgruntle. Leave your disgruntle at the door and go in and embrace the joy, the spirit, the wonder, the simplicity of your children. It is simple. It is simple. They live in that moment. They live in that interaction. If you go home in a bad mood, they're going to pick up that bad mood and they're going to think it's them. They're going to think, oh, Daddy is in a bad mood. Is it something I've done? Because children always take it on to themselves. Go in there and hug them. Lift them up and embrace them. Hug the dog. Kiss and love your wife. Go in there with that joy. And in that joy, they will fill you. They will fulfill you. And all of you will be there for one another. Please listen to your soul. Let it resonate with the passion of your heart. Let it go to the spirit of your action. And let trust the knowingness that it brings to you. Unfortunately, the guest speaker I have for next week is unable to make it until July. So next week will be announced. Don't forget the 27th when I have Jenny Garrett, who is talking about women breadwinners and her new book. I hope everybody has a beautiful week. If the sunshine does not shine upon from above you, find the sunshine to find from within you. Love, respect, be there for one another, and let your spirit fly.